My, it's been good to be here already. Thank you, Sister Pat, Sister Robin, for coming. Bless my heart. The choir, wow, what a choir. What good singing tonight. One of these days, I'm going to break loose to singing. I don't know anything about music. I've got a son that's got a doctorate degree in music, but I don't know anything about music. My wife sings, and she also knows about music. She plays the piano. I know nothing about music, but I sure do like to try. Yeah. Amen. He didn't say you had to know about music. He said just sing a joyful noise.
Right.
And, you know, if we just make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and we'll sing it with our heart in it, it'll make a difference in the ears of God. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Thank you, Brother Jeff and church, for allowing us to be here. 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, and let me read a couple of verses here. Verse number 7 and 8. If you will, in your hearing tonight for a few minutes, I want to talk to us on the thoughts on our heart. Stand with us. Let's honor the Bible. Chapter 9 in the book of 2 Samuel. The Bible said, "And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O Lord, again this evening, thanking the Lord for all your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be in your house one more time. Father, we thank you tonight for your spirit that we can feel in our heart one more time. God, I thank you for the church and the people that are here but gathered together. Lord, we pray, Father, that your will be done in this service tonight. Lord, that sinners would be converted and backsliders would turn from their wicked way. We ask you, dear God, that you'd help us one more time as we stand between you and this judgment-bound people. Lord, we do realize the responsibility that's laid upon us. And as the Apostle Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. We ask you, dear God, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil and give us power to preach one more time, that your word might go out and prick the hearts of sinners. And Lord, we ask you now to go with us and give us the words that we need to say and what you do for us. We'll be careful to thank you and we'll praise you for all that's done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to talk to us tonight, if God will help us, for just a few minutes on saved by grace. I want to talk to us on that thought for a few minutes. I don't know that we can really understand that word, grace. I don't know that our little minds will ever comprehend it till we get home to be with the Lord. Now, we know it's something that it's undeserving. It's an unmerited favor of God. There's nothing that we can do to merit the grace of God. You can't work for it. You can't be born into a family with a big name. You can't be a millionaire. It don't make any difference. We're undeserving when it comes to grace. Even our salvation is given to us by grace. A lot of folks today believe that our salvation comes by works, but it doesn't come by works. Any works that man can do, but it's everything that Christ has done for us this evening. We didn't have one part in it tonight. The Bible said he himself, amen, he purchased our salvation. And I'm glad it's plus and minus nothing. Amen. It's strictly by the grace of God. From cover to cover in the Bible, he speaks about the grace of God. The Bible said we're saved by grace through faith, and that none of yourselves. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Grace, amen. And faith is given to every individual by grace, amen. And according to the word of God, this Bible is written to us by the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. We're here tonight standing in your presence, and I want to declare unto you that that we're saved by grace. Amen. And this evening, if you get saved, it'll be by the grace of God. You can't bake enough cakes. You can't visit enough hospitals. You can't knock on enough doors to get you into heaven. Amen. It's strictly by His grace tonight. When you think about the grace of God in the text tonight, I want to talk about six words that pertains to grace out of this story. This is a very beautiful story tonight. It talks about Mephibosheth, and he was a crippled boy, and he was crippled since he'd been 5 years old. His nurse dropped him, and he was crippled. It's a picture of fallen man. Every individual is a fallen because of our sin. And then you'll find Jonathan. The Bible talks about Jonathan, Saul, the king, King Saul's son. And he's a type of Christ, and the king, he's the king's son. And then you'll find David, amen, being a type of God himself. And after all, it's God who chose you. You didn't choose yourself. And then the Bible tells us there's Ziba, a type of the Holy Ghost. And we find those people in this text tonight, and every one of them shows us a picture of God's grace. Amen. And as we look into the text tonight, I want to give you about six words that'll point you to grace. First of all, look with me in your Bible for just a few minutes tonight. You'll find in verse number one, you'll see the words Jonathan's sake. Amen. That word sake. David, King David, I said, was a type of the father. And for Jonathan's sake, at the time of the text, you find Jonathan has died now, and he's dead as far as King David's concerned. And David and Jonathan had a blood covenant together. Amen. You remember how the Bible said we're knit together. Amen. They'd cut themselves and they touched the blood together. Amen. And I'm glad, thank God, it's by grace. The Bible tells us now that David is trying to find somebody to bestow his kindness on, and he finds Jonathan's son, who's crippled from 5 years old. And David tells him to go out and find Jonathan's son. I want to give him Saul's possessions for Jonathan's sake. Amen. Did you know we're saved because of Jesus' sake? Amen. It's what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, that we are saved tonight. Amen. When he died at Calvary and shed his blood for you and I, for the forgiveness of sins. And he went to the grave in 3 days. God raised him from the dead. And 40 days and 40 nights later, he went back home, sat down at the right hand of God, making intercession for all of them who'll come to him by faith. When we're saved, the Holy Ghost dispatches our wants to God, to Jesus, Jesus looks to the Father and says they want to be saved, and the Father turns to Jesus and says, for your sake, amen, I'll save them. Oh, praise God, it's all by grace and for Jesus' sake. Glory to God. I'm glad it's that way, aren't you? And when we get to heaven, it's not going to be about mama and papa and uncle and aunt and brothers and sisters, children. It's going to be about Jesus. Amen. Somebody, the other is just a bonus, but it's all about him. We're saved by grace. Amen. And you'll find that grace in that word sake. But another word I want you to look at, you'll find in verse number 5. It's the Bible said, then King David sent and fetched him. And I want to talk about that a few minutes this evening. That word fetched him. Go fetch him. Amen. When he could not come to him, he went and got him. Amen. Now, I remember Mephibosheth. I was crippled. He had no way of walking. He could not get to the king. And he couldn't get up to walk. And fact of the matter is, he had no desire to get to the king. But King David said, go get him. Go fetch him. I'm glad that in the annals of time, that our blessed Savior, before the foundation of the world was ever laid, he said, I'll go. a 16-year-old boy. He came and got me. Amen. He come and fetched my life tonight. If you get saved, it'll be because he fetched you. Amen. The Apostle Paul said, I love him because he first loved me. I would have never sought after him. I was dead in the trespasses of my sins. I could care less. Far as I was concerned, I was going to die in my sins, die and go to hell. And just as sure as I'm standing here, all I'd had to do was just nothing. So all I'd had to do. Somebody said, how are you going to hell? What do you got to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just keep going like you're going. Amen. And when you die and leave this world, you plunge right off into hell because we're dead in trespasses and sins. And if it hadn't been for God coming and fetching you, then you could not be saved tonight. That's grace, isn't it? That's the grace of God. And by the way, Ziba done the fetching. Amen. He said, told Ziba. Now, Ziba was Saul's servant. Now, listen to that. Wasn't David's servant. It's Saul's servant. And so he said, go get Jonathan, Saul's son's Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. Go fetch him. Amen. He's a type of the Spirit of God. How the Spirit of God has come to convict and convince sinners. Amen. I tell you, when I'm a little old-fashioned. I still believe in the convicting power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That you got to know that you're wrong before you can get right. You got to know you're lost before you can get saved. And I believe if a church and the church's responsibility tonight is to get them lost. Amen. Is to preach to them that they're lost. Amen. And the Holy Ghost to sanction the Word of God and convict them of their sins and convince them that they are lost and that they need to be saved. And without the presence of the Holy Ghost, there'll be no salvation. You can't just get saved when you want to. Somebody said, I think I'll just go home and get in the closet somewhere and I'll just get saved. It don't work like that. You'll get saved when Ziba comes after you. Amen. When the Holy Ghost comes after you. Amen. When the summings of the Spirit by God Himself summons the Holy Ghost to come and fetch you. Amen. And how you find that word fetch. But then you'll find another word here in verse number 7. And you'll find it again in verse number 3. It's the word the kindness of God. And that's an unusual word in the Bible. It's the word hesed. And some folks pronounce it kesed. But it's an unusual Hebrew word. And it means the kindness of God. I don't know that we'll ever understand that word. They've tried to pin it down and find some kind of a right way to interpret that word. And the only way they could come up with words is say the kindness of God. Who can understand the grace of God? You sung a while ago, who can understand grace? And it's bound up in the word grace. It's the kindness of God. And the Bible tells us that the goodness of God worketh repentance, but the kindness of God is bestowed by His grace. He only fetches you because of His kindness. Because if you would have gotten justice, you'd have went to hell. That's right. It's by grace and the kindness of God. I don't know that I understand all about that myself. How God could love such a worm as I and such a worm as we are. Amen. The Bible tells us that hell is a place where the worm dieth not. Amen. It's a place for the worms. That's where we ought to be tonight, is in hell. We're just but dust worms. But the kindness of God came along. And by grace, He fetched after you by His Spirit. When Mephibosheth couldn't get to him, They went and fetched him because King David gave him the kindness of God. But here's another word, restore. Restoration is a grace word. Amen. Well, what's he restoring? We've lost everything in Adam. Everything that we ever had, we lost it in Adam. You remember Adam, the Bible tells us, was placed in a happy and a holy state. Amen. And as far as if I understand the Bible right, at that particular time, Adam's blood has not been tainted by sin. It had no sin in that blood. And so the Bible tells us that he placed him in a beautiful garden. And God would come and fellowship with him in the cool of the day. So you know that Adam had perfection, holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see God. And so we know they had a union back yonder in the garden. But sin entered into the world, and by sin, death came. Amen. Sin came first. And because of sin, the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. And so we lost it. We lost our fellowship. We lost our perfection. And we lost our habitat. Amen. From that time on, we began to get deteriorated. But here come the Lord, the second Adam. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. The second Adam come to restore. The Bible said, David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread continually at my table. Amen. Now you're looking at this outer man. He still has the imperfections of Adam. But you wait till you see me in my new home. Amen. There'll not be a flaw. Amen. There'll not be an imperfection about it. Not one of these days, he's coming back after my body. When they lay this old Adam man in the ground, incorruptible, they're going to plant it somewhere in some cemetery. I don't know all about that. But they're going to put me in the ground one day. And one day the trumpet's going to sound. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. I'm coming out of that grave. Perfected in the body. Hallelujah. Because of the second Adam. That on the inside's perfect. And he's coming back with that perfection to redeem and restore again. That and perfect that body. And we'll have a brand new body. Fashion. I don't care if you believe that or not. It's Bible. Yeah. Restoration. Now, don't you misunderstand this. Behold, I make all things new. He said, write these things. They are true and faithful. They're true words. Now, when he uses the word restoration or the restore, he's making everything new. Amen. It was taken away from Saul, and just like it was taken away from Adam, and now it's given to Jonathan brand new. Amen. One of these days, when John the Revelator said, I'll see a new heaven and a new earth coming down. Amen. And the city of God coming down. Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Woo! There'll not be a briar on that earth. Not a thorn or a thistle on that earth. There'll not be a cold day or a hot day. It'll be perfect. Glory to God. There'll be no war. You ain't got to worry about a hospital. Amen. There'll be no hospital. You ain't got to worry about a dirt road. Bumpity old cars. I'm telling you, to be perfect one day after a while. For he's come to restore unto us everything that we lost in Adam. But most of all, the fellowship with the Lord. Then that brings us to the word continually. That word means continually. I'm not trying to be smart, but I'm not trying to be dumb either. That's what it means. It means continually. He said, you'll eat on my table continually. Now, you've heard the story about his crippled body. When he's under the table, you can't tell him from the rest of them sitting there. I know you've heard that. But you know, all we see is the outside. But what's even greater was what was on the inside of Jonathan, over Mephibosheth. He got to sit at the king's table forever. I'm a basking in the love of God now. I'm a sliding under the table of God now. When I get home and leave this old sin-cursed world, there's another table spread up in glory that I'm going to sit under forever. Amen. There's never a time where the ceasing ever stops, or where the ceasing ever stops in glory. Amen. I'm a sitting now and I'm a sitting then. You remember the crazy man that dwelt among the tomb? Do you know when they found him? You know what the Bible said about him? They found him in his right mind, fully clothed and sitting down. You know why he's sitting? He's under the table. He's under the table. You remember what Jesus said? He said, divide them up. He said, how many baskets? He said, you got loaves of bread and fish? He said, go and sit them down. We fix and eat. Hey, man, we're going to eat. I tell you, when he said, you're going to come and sit and eat under my table continually. But then he comes on down and he says, you mean, how am I going to get all this? I'm nothing but a dead dog. But then the Bible said, he said, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants under Mephibosheth. Now listen, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. There never was a time he stopped. He continuously fed the master's table. It's all by grace. We're saved by grace tonight. Some of you feel like you've really done something. Preachers, don't ever think you're going to get to heaven because you're preaching. I'm going because I've been born again.
Amen.
If you get there, you'll have to be born again.
Amen.
You're here tonight, and you may belong to a Baptist church, a Methodist church. Mr. Gandhi, one of these philosophers of our days, one of these men, they said getting to God was like a pyramid. You can just got all kinds of ways to get to him. It's not right. Heard a Baptist preacher say one time, said, now we need not to be so rough on the Muslim community. Said, we don't know for sure, but Allah may be God. Just maybe just a different name for him. You won't find that in my Bible. He told the children of Israel. You remember when Moses got them out of Egypt? He told them. He said, I was known of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I was known of them as the Almighty. But he said, Moses, he said, you'll know me by Jehovah.
Yeah.
Amen. And later on, he said, and thou shalt call him Jesus. Amen. There's not but one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, the grace of God. Tonight, if you're here, I'm not asking you for church membership. I'm asking you tonight, have you ever been born again? If you were to leave here tonight, can you say that you have an experience of grace? That's what that is, an experience of grace. We didn't deserve it, but God bestowed his salvation upon you for Jesus' sake, and he done it because of his kindness. And he sent after you by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he restores unto us. You remember, what was it David said? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Remember, he talks about a restoration. Tonight, he wants to save you if you'll let him. But you got to let him. It's by grace. I was talking to a man one night, and he was just weeping. He was just weeping. And I said, sir, I said, wouldn't you love to be saved? And he stopped in just a minute. He said, preacher, you make that sound like it's too easy. I said, it is easy. I said, it's by faith. I said, if you'll believe and repent of your sin, believe in the Lord, all that's bound up it together. If you believe, you're going to repent. If you repent, you're going to believe. It's all bound up. And I said, that's what it takes. He said, it's just too easy. He said, I can't do it. He said, I just feel like I've got to do something. I said, so I got my Bible. I put it under my arm. I said, sir, I said, you'll never get in. You'll never get in believing that you've got to do something. Jesus did it all.
Right.
Tonight, he did it all for you. Will you come to him? Would you come to him? If the Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart, knocking on your heart, why don't you, by faith, take that step and come on to the Lord? He wants to save you. Would you? The Bible said, for the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. Every heart he knocks on and bestows grace. While we stand tonight, will you come? Will you come? Words of grace. Come on tonight. The Lord spoke to you. He might have spoken to you before tonight. May have been a couple of weeks ago. Could have been Sunday. Could have been last week. Could have been today. Could have been tonight. The Lord speaking to you. I'm not talking about your religion. I'm talking about salvation. Religion is good in its place, but it never takes the place of salvation. Come on. Come on. Come on.